We all know that dental leaders play an essential role in the dental industry as they provide you and I guidance and direction and provide that guidance to other dental professionals. And however, in recent years, some dental leaders have been answering questions that no dentist is asking, causing confusion and frustration among all of us. And this podcast, we're going to explore why dental leaders are answering questions that no dentist is asking and the impact that this trend on the dental industry is having. We begin our podcast right there.
Welcome, all of you fantastic dental podcast listeners, to the My Practice, My Business Dental Podcast Show, where we help dentists profit and thrive with excerpts from the clinical business of dentistry training here at My Practice, My Business. We'll be addressing and answering questions with current trends dentists and their teams face each and every day in their pursuit of this wonderful career we call dentistry. And now the host of our show, the clinical director and president at My Practice, My Business, Dr. Rob Thorup.
It's obvious that the dental industry is in need of dental leadership because things are constantly evolving with new technologies, techniques, regulations emerging regularly. Dental leaders play a crucial role in keeping dental professionals up to date with these changes and providing guidance and direction to help us navigate the industry's, you know, the complexities that we see. For example, amalgam separators. Did all of you know that in the state of Utah, that if you do less than 5% in removals of amalgam and actually placement, you do not need an amalgam separator? You can get a waiver. Yeah. Nobody was taught that, were they? So it's kind of interesting that we see dental leaders also advocating for the dental profession, working to improve the industry's reputation, and they promote the importance of oral health in the public, and that's wonderful. They work with policymakers and other stakeholders to ensure that the dental industry's needs and concerns are addressed. We see that with the ADA and legislation, fluoride. If I see one more article on Medicare, Medicaid, I'm going to puke, and that the industry continues to grow and evolve in a positive direction. I get that. That's wonderful. That's what we need them doing. Especially when it comes to legislation against third-party payers. What a concept. The issue of answering questions that no dentist is asking, though, this is a problem. While the dental leadership is essential, there some dental leaders have been answering questions that none of us are asking. And it's really frustrating and confusing amongst all of us. It contributes to an actual loss in membership when they're doing things that really don't matter to the everyday solo practitioner, which still makes up over 70% of the practices in the nation. But even the DSOs get frustrated with this stuff. And this trend is largely driven by the rise in social media and online communications, where dental leaders, KOLs, are using their platforms, like me, to address issues that are, you know, that are not relevant, mine are, but other people are using them to bring up issues that really aren't relevant or important to dental professionals. And I'm going to give you some generalized examples of where I know you can fill in the blanks. Number one, launching a social media campaign to promote the importance of regular dental checkups and oral hygiene habits. This may not directly impact member dentists since they are likely already aware of the importance of preventative care and may have their own marketing strategies in place. I just want to point that out. Even the ADA SIL doesn't have the same impact it did years ago, since the public knows that it's a purchased SIL more often than a scientific one. Sorry, ADA, calling you out again. But hey, follow science, all right, and follow the dollar at the same time and see where the two cross over. The second one is hosting webinars and events on topics that are not immediately relevant to the day-to-day operations of a dental practice. Finding balance between work and life. I see this one all the time. Heaven forbid they use the word family. Can we just say family? The medical loss ratio legislation, Medicaid in your practice, and the state of Illinois reforming dental insurance to protect dentists, similar legislation that was passed in Utah but got no publicity. Need I mention the Illinois law is extremely weak compared with Utah's new dental law? Again, Utah got no publicity on theirs. While these topics may be interesting and informative, they may not have a direct impact on the dentist's work, all right? So, yeah, the medical loss ratio, we already know the insurance companies have workarounds around that. Isn't that interesting? Medicaid in your practice, not until they make it easier to process claims and actually increase the reimbursements and actually stop trying to control the quality of care, will I never take Medicaid. Nope, not doing it. The third one, conducting research studies on surveys that do not have a clear or immediate application to clinical practice or patient care. You know, while these studies may contribute to the overall body of knowledge in dentistry, they may not have a direct impact on the dentist's work or the care they provide to their patients. There's another one. For example, study links increase in healthy behavior to lower cancer and cardiovascular risks. I mean, honestly, isn't that a given? Don't we term that no shit Sherlock? You know, stay healthy, eat healthy, don't drink, don't smoke. Where are the simple business studies? Where are the simple business studies on how dental insurance reimbursements haven't kept up with the cost of living index and show exactly how bad it is? That would be a good place to start. Or how dental insurance plans are forcing dentists to use cheaper products and technology and just how bad that is. I don't think any of us need to see another study on the benefits of fluoride in a municipality's water system. We already know that. We already know that benefits. Can we be relevant in some of the stuff? Here's another fourth one. Offering discounts or promotions on products or services that are not widely used or relevant to most dentists. You know, for example, if the ADA were to offer discounts on software that only a small percentage of dentists use, this would have little impact on the majority of the members. Don't you think? Did I ever tell you about the time I rented a car with Hertz and I was given a price for the rental and then remembered that ADA members got a special discount with Hertz? And when I told them I was an ADA member, showed them my ADA card, they told me, oh, you already got the car for the ADA member discount. Really? What good was membership when they gave me the same price point they give everybody else? I have other examples of the same thing with other so-called ADA membership companies, but I think you get the picture and probably have had similar experiences. Here's another one. Advocating for policy changes. It's the fifth one. Advocating for policy changes or legislation that are not directly related to the practice of dentistry. While the ADA may be involved in lobbying efforts on a wide range of issues, some of these may not have direct impact on member dentists or the dental profession as a whole. They spent millions of dollars overturning the McCarran-Ferguson Act, but I'm pretty sure there won't be a benefit that will directly affect the majority of our practices on that one. They tend to support and sort of fund lawsuits, but where is the legislation that is actually effective in protecting us from PPO plans? And now the ADA is pimping out our personal information or selling it for a great annual fee to dental companies who just might have a product that we can't live without. The ADA has always said they will protect our information and prevent vendors from getting it, but not in today's greedy climate. You know, and when I say greed with, you know, tongue in cheek, because greed is actually a positive factor that causes entrepreneurialism and business, mom pop shops, right? So greed can be used for good in having a motivating driving factor for that, but not so much when it just comes down to the dollar of selling out our information. Some dental leaders have been promoting new technologies and techniques that are not widely adopted or even necessary. And this has led to confusion among dental professionals who may feel pressured to invest in expensive new equipment or learn new techniques that may not benefit their practice or patients. How many times do we hear them say, you can market yourself as a laser dentist, or you can market yourself as a sleep apnea dentist? You know, these are all things that they're providing answers to, but nobody's asking questions on, really. I mean, they're answering questions that we just aren't really asking for. Additionally, some dental leaders have been promoting controversial ideas or practices that are not evidence-based, causing further confusion and division within the dental community. This can lead to patients having a lack of trust in us, or us having a lack of trust in leadership. And that can negatively affect or have consequences for the dental industry as a whole. Why does the ADA promote the companies they do? Because they have a fiduciary interest in their revenues. Obviously, I used to be one of them. I know, because I was one of them. Hear what I said. I won't do that again. I refuse to have any dental entity have control over what we do here at my practice, my business. Freedom is everything, even if it means making less revenue. And all of you who are working for DSOs, what's the chief complaint that we hear from you guys? Yeah, I'm not free. My wrists are handcuffed. They won't let me do this. They won't let me do that. We hear that all the time. Own your own business, solo practice. You can definitely easily compete against corporate America. You can easily compete against the DSOs and corporate dental entities that claim they have a corner on stuff. They really don't. It is so easy. That my practice, my business, I can't believe how many dentists who have gone through our training. They're like, you guys are like the DSO busters. We realize we don't have to sell out. We can actually be way more profitable implementing the business principles you guys teach than joining the business principles with people who think they know the dental industry and they don't. Well, the trend of dental leaders answering questions that no dentist is asking can have a significant impact on the dental industry. I want all of you to look around and start looking at that and seeing if stuff is being pushed that nobody's asking questions about. Yeah, they create the need and then they tell you you need it. It can lead to confusion and frustration among dental professionals, and it causes us to be pressured to adopt new technologies or techniques that might not be relevant to the practice or our patients. And that can result in increased costs for dental professionals as they invest in equipment or training that may not be necessary or beneficial. I mean, I'm thinking of some things. You guys have heard me rip on different technologies that are out there that just don't have a return on investment. And how much of a benefit does it really have for the patient? And what does it really cost us in direct operating costs per hour, let alone costs of goods? These are all things that we need to look at that we don't look at. How many times, like, do new bonding agents come out, and the bonding agent you're using is still the bonding agent by which all bonding agents are, you know, graded by, and that new bonding agent doesn't perform like it should? Or maybe the composite comes out. They solve a problem for something that doesn't exist with a composite company. Or how many implant companies are out there now, and yet still the two top dogs that all are judged by Straumann, number one, Nobel, number two. And yet all these implant companies come out and say, oh, yeah, we're the best. We do it better than anybody else. And maybe those implants don't do as well as they thought they would. We've all seen it. And if you've been in practice for over 10 years, you know exactly what we're talking about. If a technology doesn't make a happy patient while providing a respectful return on investment, I would not purchase it. I would really think about not purchasing that. And then the trend can lead to a lack of trust in dental leadership sometimes. And that's a problem. So you've got all these wonderful sales reps out there, supply reps out there, and they'll have a corporation tell them, hey, you need to push this product. This product's really good. And they get all hyped up. But when it comes down to actual practicalities of using it in your practice, it doesn't work so well. And then who do we blame? Of course, we blame the sales rep. We blame the supply rep. We blame our lab or whoever it might be with a new, you know, technology that just hasn't been tried and tested. And that leads to those negative consequences for the whole dental industry. And then the consumer finds out, and then that's not a good thing. So dental professionals, we might be less likely to seek guidance or advice from dental leaders sometimes, leading to a lack of communication and collaboration within the industry too. And that can hinder the growth and the evolution of the dental industry, as dental professionals may not have access to information and resources that they need to succeed. and actual resources that are proven, resources that work, like the training that we provide here at MPMB works. So many people will go to consulting companies, and I'm really surprised at how many of our clients, they are still working with consultants when they come through our training, and then after they come through our training, they end up firing their consultants. That's really interesting, and I ask them why, and they're like, well, isn't it obvious, Rob? You know, you guys have made us actually profitable. You've taught us business skills. We've never heard of this stuff from the other consultants that are out there. It's really interesting that we see this happen all the time. But again, we're not afraid to go ask the tough questions and not afraid to push back. And this is why, you know, one thing that's interesting that I've noticed with my Patterson reps here in Utah, like our clients who purchase something from Patterson, most all the reps there, you have to prove to the rep how that technology will improve the delivery of dental care and what the return on investment looks like within your practice. And before they'll even allow the docs to make the equipment purchase. Now, I'm not going to lie. That's, you know, sometimes I want to be a pioneer. Sometimes I want to purchase something, give it a try. And I love being on that cutting edge myself. But it's pretty funny when they're like, yeah, Rob, maybe you should look at this. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I love a rep who's not there just to sell something to me, but actually is a part of my family, part of our dental team, and that won't just like, won't be an answering a question that maybe I might not be asking, or maybe I'm asking for something and then they'll hold me back and say, yeah, you're trying to solve a problem that nobody else is having. So you got to prove it. So I love reps that do that in any of the companies that we deal with. Sometimes it's, like I said, it's annoying, but that's why Patterson reps, they're a trusted resource for us and not only to our clients, but myself. So while dental leadership, you guys, is essential for growth and the evolution of the dental industry, answering questions that no dentist is asking can sometimes have negative consequences. I've just seen it too many times. So dental leaders, you got to ensure that the information and guidance you're providing is relevant and evidence-based, and they're addressing issues that are important to dental professionals. And let me give you one example that just I was going to hold back on, but I'm not going to hold back on. One of our clients, I shouldn't even say one of our clients. I'm talking about Washington University, University of Utah, Roseman Dental, Nevada, Las Vegas dental school, whatever that one is. A bunch of the schools. We've had a lot of people tell us that all these schools are having the DSOs come in and tell the graduating class, you've got to join a DSO. You can't make it on your own and solo, or you need it. I kind of wonder why they're telling these students that they got to join a DSO. And it's like all these students go in and they want to go practice on their own. That's why they go to dental school, most of them, many of them, I should say, because they want to be their own boss. And then they get there and they're told they can't be their own boss. And so they're answering these questions that a lot of times dentists aren't asking. But maybe the dentists need to start asking questions. Why are the schools pumping these people in there to tell me that I'm not going to be good enough when I come out of school? Yeah, you're going to be slow. Make no mistake about it. It's going to take you time to build up speed. But it's like they're answering questions of that, again, so many of us aren't. And they're brainwashing you guys that are coming out of school. And all you younger dentists are brainwashing you that you can't make it on your own. Well, again, at MPMB, we not only just teach the opposite, but we have so many practices, like almost all of them, that are doing exceptionally well with our training. So I don't know. Dental leaders, you guys can help to build trust and collaboration within the dental community and promote growth and evolution in the industry. And hopefully it will be in a direction that problem solves actual questions and concerns that we all have collectively and not individually for selfish gains, and so that you can actually give appropriate information. And I want you guys to always ask the question, is the information I'm given, is it correct and true, and can it be challenged? And so when we hear students at the U of U and Roseman and other schools throughout the nation being told that they can't make it on their own or they can't just go in and buy a practice, there's so many dentists out there that will self-fund their practices. And it could be written up. Yeah, there's going to be some good heavy claws in there. I'm talking talons, claws, that if you mess up, docs, you're, you know, buying a practice. Yeah, the other dentist that sells ought to be able to come back against you and do so in a fashion that you don't get to have that practice again, and they could go resell to somebody else. But they do want you to succeed. They want you to buy their practice. They want you to succeed. And so when dental leaders are answering questions that nobody's asking, the real questions that we hear that we're being asked is, how can we make it on our own? What opportunities are there out there instead of joining a DSO? See, nobody wants to answer that question, but the dentists, the students are asking those types of questions. And I want you all to know that at My Practice, My Business, we have the answer. And I hope you guys, if you haven't been through our training, check us out. And all of you that have been through our training, continue to learn. Come through some of our other courses. Take refresher courses, because what we trained on just 2 years ago is not exactly what we're training on today. I mean, the core values are there, but there's updates all the time, which all of our docs who've gone through refresher courses have found out. It's wonderful. We try to stay on the cutting edge. We do our best. We're constantly, Tracy and I are, and our whole team, we're constantly learning, constantly reevaluating all the things that we're teaching and keeping you guys up to date. And that's one of the things that I really, really, really love about our company. Challenge the answers, people. Start asking the right questions, because that's where you're going to be most successful. Thanks so much for being here on this podcast. You guys have a fantastic day.
Thank you for being with us today. Since 2006, My Practice, My Business has been teaching dentists and their teams business skills, dental insurance contractual protocols, and state laws governing how to profitably bill patients fairly for the need-based services they provide. What's more, we guarantee our training, unlike other dental consulting companies in the industry. Simply stated, if you don't increase your net revenue, we don't get paid. We call it dental consulting the way it should be. We believe there's never been a more important time than now for dentists to experience and implement our key methods, knowledge, and business training within their dental practices. To learn more about our guaranteed, no-risk clinical business of dentistry training that is changing dental practices for the better, just go to our website, mypracticemybusiness.com, and surf our pages for additional information about our company and the services we provide. When you're ready, give us a call and get scheduled for the most profitable dental business training that you will ever experience. If you enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call us. Thank you again and have a fantastic day.